is up? It's the Pro Football Focus Fantasy Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it's Wednesday, November 22nd. I don't know why I sound so excited. I guess I'm excited because it's almost Thanksgiving. That's my favorite holiday. I love me some Thanksgiving. I love three football games. I love two dinners. I love a couple adult beverages. Got myself some nice Northeast IPAs for Thanksgiving after all the work is done. But there's still work to do. So on today's show, like we do every Wednesday, we're going to break down the rankings for Week 12. Crazy. Week 12. If you're still listening to this, well, congratulations. You're still in the playoff mix, right? And every decision is crucial, so we'll help you set those lineups here on the show today. Not going to waste any time. So let's dive right into the quarterback rankings. If you've heard this show before, you know that I don't like to overthink things. I like to keep things as simple as possible. So I'm not going to overthink the quarterback position at the top. It's Tom Brady. This guy's playing better now than he was 5 years ago. It's unbelievable the level that he's able to play at this age. You know, we've seen a lot of quarterbacks, you know, by the time they reach this point, they know the game so well, but their body starts to fail them. You know, we saw it with Peyton Manning, for example. Obviously, the knowledge that Peyton Manning has about football, he's forgotten more than most of us have ever learned about the game, but the body failed him. Tom Brady's body isn't failing him, and it's a great matchup against Miami, so he comes in at number one. I think you could make the argument that Russell Wilson is the number one fantasy quarterback this week as well. We're really splitting hairs there, but I have him at number two. Okay, big deal. San Francisco plus matchup. He's adding with his legs. They have no run game other than him. You know, it looked like maybe we got Mike Davis. Like, I've liked Mike Davis since his days in college. And, of course, he gets hurt. Like, every running back's getting hurt for this team. So, yeah, that's actually good for Russell Wilson. Plus matchup, firing him up. He's a top DFS option for me in cash games this week. Really like him at the price point. Obviously, you can use Brady all the time, but the price point for Russell Wilson and the matchup, both pluses. How about Kirk Cousins? Coming off a strong outing last week, gets the Giants on Thanksgiving. I love the matchup. Last week, I'm not going to read too much into that because of the weather. I think if it was a game where there was no wind, we would have seen a lot more passing, obviously, out of that Kansas City offense. The Giants really... And they took a step forward as a defense. Let's be clear about that. But they have not been able to stop passing games other than getting a little help out from weather. So firing up Kirk Cousins is the number three option this week. Now, Alex Smith, I think he rebounds. So I have him at four against Buffalo. Buffalo struggling really in all phases on the defensive side of the ball. We'll see if they can turn things around. But going on the road in Kansas City, that's typically not a good recipe there. Carson Wentz at number five for me. Not getting it done necessarily with a ton of yards, but it doesn't matter because his touchdown productivity, he's been so efficient there that he remains a strong quarterback one play. Cam Newton next at six. Now, he's on the road, but it's against the Jets, so it's favorable. And then what you have to like about Cam Newton is he's finally running again. I mean, that was the difference. That's been the difference. If Cam doesn't run, he's a quarterback two. If he runs, he's a quarterback one. And they're letting him loose a little bit. I like the play calls, some of the designs that they're going with now. A little bit more creative and using him where he's effective. I expect that to continue in this one. Just a quick note, too. One of you on Facebook, by the way, I know some of you don't use Twitter. I'm on Facebook as well. I have one of those, pages or whatever. Not like my personal account, but the page. People, some of you have shot me messages on there. I'm always happy to talk to folks on there as well. But on Facebook, one of you asked, Carson Wentz or Cam Newton? I'm going back and forth. And I can understand the dilemma, but in the same right, when we get to that point, we're kind of splitting hairs, right? Because both of them are good options. And I don't think you could go wrong. I don't think there's a wrong decision to be made. Last week, I had to make a decision between Kirk Cousins and Ben Roethlisberger. This is actually my family league. So I'm making the decision, and I'm like, well, I'm going to start Cousins, right? I'm going to start Cousins, you know, Big Ben. I kind of like the matchup at home and all that fun stuff, but I'm going to go with Cousins. So, of course, I was kicking myself for a couple days there. It's like, Ben goes nuts, but Cousins still had a good game. So, you know, it's one of those instances where you can't really go wrong if you had to make that decision between Wentz and Newton or something like that. So, don't sweat those details too much. You know, it's a different scenario if you're saying, well, I'm thinking about benching Carson Wentz for, you know, I don't know, Andy Dalton, because he's going, and you're not that you're doing that, but that because he's going against the Browns, like something like that. Okay, well, now that's, you know, that's a little bit different. But when they're like back-to-back in rankings, you could go either one. It's a true coin flip when they're that close in rankings. And I wouldn't talk you out of starting Cam Newton. But then again, I wouldn't talk you out of starting Carson Wentz if you had that decision. Number seven for me, Ben Roethlisberger at home. Okay, you check through the schedule. Is he at home? Oh, he's at home. All right, cool. We'll start him. He's at home. It's against the Packers. I don't mind that matchup. Packers a little dinged up in the secondary. They've been dinged up in the secondary all season. So happy with Ben Roethlisberger at number seven. Number eight, Marcus Mariota. I like the matchup against Indianapolis for him. I like the fact that he is adding with his legs a little bit. Obviously, that's a difference maker with some of these guys. When it's not just a sit back there and sling at quarterback like Tom Brady or Drew Brees or somebody like that, you really need them to add with their legs to give you that extra value. So this week, Mariota is in play. Number nine is tough for me. So right now, tentatively, I have Dak Prescott. And I'm actually glad that I ranked him inside the top 12 so that I could talk about him in a little bit more detail here, because this is one that is very much with a caveat. He remains here at number nine if Tyron Smith plays. If Tyron Smith does not play, then that is, he's going to be downgraded outside of the top 12 easily. Probably would say he would go down to about 15-16. That puts him in Andy Dalton, Case Keenum territory. And why that is pretty simple. If you've been paying attention to the last 2 weeks, they've gotten absolutely torched at the left tackle position. It wasn't as bad with Byron Bell at left tackle as it was the previous week, but Bell still gave up 5 quarterback pressures. And remember, at Pro Football Focus, we define a quarterback pressure as a sack, hit, or hurry. So it's all of them combined. None of them are good for quarterbacks, right? He gave up 5 of them. That's a big number right there. We saw Derek Barnett get in the mix. Derek Barnett getting multiple sacks. And that is on that left side of the defensive line where Derek Barnett was coming at them. And Vinnie Curry. Vinnie Curry was getting after the quarterback as well on that side. So the moral of the story is pretty simple here. If Tyron Smith doesn't play, I think you're going to see Melvin Ingram go absolutely bonkers. But it's not just Ingram, right? Ingram's primarily on that right side of the defensive line, but not exclusively. Okay, so we have this this tool at ProFootballFocus.com that some of you are probably aware of. It's for our elite subscribers, and it's a, we call it a positional pivot. So basically, it'll show you for any player, all of the positions that they play, all the snaps they play at each position throughout the season, right? So I have Joey Bosa pulled up here, and on the edge, so basically they're, when they're rushing as edge rushers, they're using either a Leo or a Rio, so right end outside or left end outside position, and that's the most common for these guys when they're rushing, so both Ingram and Bosa. So Bosa this season has rushed from left end outside 170 snaps. He's rushed from right end outside 135 snaps. So in other words, they're flip-flopping these guys, and they're both going to be able to take advantage of that left tackle position if Tyron Smith doesn't play. Now, that's not to say they won't get after him regardless, but Tyron Smith, huge upgrade. So Dak Prescott tentatively at 9, but very likely to move down. Matt Ryan, that is if Tyron Smith doesn't play. Matt Ryan at 10. Tampa's doing a better job against the pass than they were earlier in the season. So that's something to pay attention to. I know, you know, early on in the season, we wanted to exploit that matchup as much as we possibly could. I'm not sure that's necessarily the case right now. They're sort of steadily moving down in terms of opposing matchup. Now, last week, they did give up some big yardage in relief duty to Matt Moore. But you look at the previous games against the Jets, it was 261 or 262 and one to Josh McCown. Now, not that's you know, that scary of an opposing quarterback. But then 263 and two to Drew Brees, 154 and one to Cam Newton. You know, these aren't like they're not standout numbers. So could we see a very similar line from Matt Ryan this week? Yeah, we could. We could see Matt Ryan throw for like 270 and two, which is fine as a starter, but it's not, he's not an elite option at that point. He's a back end quarterback one, which is right where he's ranked. Speaking of Drew Brees at 11. Here's the thing about this matchup. The Rams are pretty tough against opposing quarterbacks, and they're not tough against opposing run games. And let's see, what have the Saints been doing recently? Yeah, they've been running the football. 1 + 1 = 2. What do we think they're going to do here? They're going to hammer the Rams with the run game. Hammer the Rams with the run game. Now, I think if you have Drew Brees, now you don't want to hear me say that, but you can't overthink this one. Like, if you're thinking, like, well, I'm going to just start Case Keenum over Drew Brees, just say that sentence out loud, right? You still have to start Drew Brees, but you're kind of hoping maybe the touchdowns, the inevitable touchdowns for Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara actually come on passing plays instead of run plays, because it's not that favorable of a matchup. And with the Saints' run game doing so well, it's hard to not attack the Rams on the ground in this one. You know, if you look at it right now, there are, 9 teams who have given up over 1,000 yards on the ground to opposing running backs. The Rams are obviously one of them. 4 teams over 1,100 yards. The Rams are one of them. They're currently 4th in rushing yards to running backs. So, yeah. But you still have to start Drew Brees if you own him. Rounding out our top 12 here is Jared Goff on the other side of that. Keeping an eye on the practice reports. I actually don't have them. It's just after noon Eastern on Wednesday here. So I don't have the practice reports. Going to see what happens with Marshawn Lattimore. Obviously, if he's out, then that certainly helps things for Jared Goff. Lattimore dealing with an ankle injury that he suffered last week. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Just on the outside looking in, Matthew Stafford, a tough matchup there on Thanksgiving. Going to look to fade him if I can. Andy Dalton, as I mentioned, yeah, is it a good matchup? Yeah, I guess. It's just Andy Dalton, you know. And of course, last week it's a somewhat tough matchup, and he tosses 3 touchdowns. He didn't get a lot of yards though. That's the MO against the Broncos, by the way. We're seeing this continually. They're letting up touchdowns. They're just not letting up yards. But maybe we don't fade that matchup with quarterbacks. You know, if it's one of those fringe quarterbacks, maybe we don't fade it. It is an interesting observation I had while doing projections this week. Case Keenum, 16 for me. I mean, maybe he's on a hot streak, but last week he showed that if it is a tougher matchup, he's not going to put up massive numbers. Jacoby Brissett is in the streamer conversation. I have him at 17, but he is in the concussion protocol, so we'll keep an eye on him. Ryan Fitzpatrick at 18. You could stream him. It is Fitzpatrick, so there is magic, and then he can also disappear. Tyrod Taylor back in the mix. Right now I have him at 19. I have a feeling I am going to move him up because I actually ranked him before fully knowing that he was going to get the job. We figured he was going to get the job back, but now that he is officially in the job, probably will move him up. It's a somewhat favorable matchup, believe it or not, against Kansas City. It's just the Bills with Tyrod under center on the road. That offense doesn't necessarily produce like they do on in home games, that is. By the way, though, love Tyrod's schedule for the fantasy playoffs, especially week 14, week 15. He gets a bunch of home games in there, too. They're at home three straight weeks, weeks 13, 14, and 15, and they have plus matchups. So something to consider there with Tyrod Taylor, if he's somehow available in your leagues. All right, let's move on to running back. And of course, by the way, you know this, but if you wanted to check out the entire set of rankings, you can go to profootballfocus.com and get access to them. Of course, you have to at least be an elite subscriber to see access to all of our rankings, projections, all of that fun stuff. Again, we're going to keep it simple at the top here. Le'Veon Bell, the floor is massive. Even last week, it wasn't a great game, but he touched the ball so many times that he still gets you a decent enough fantasy week. So I have him at one. Number two, though, people want to fight with me tooth and nail on this one, and maybe whatever. I don't even want to argue. It's Kareem Hunt. You know, I don't even want to argue. If you don't like it, don't start him. But you may miss out on a big game here. Contrary to popular belief, he's playing well, and consider the productivity. You know, think about this. If I didn't tell you who this was, and I said, all right, by week 11, your running back is going to have 873 rushing yards and four scores. That's an average of 5.0 per carry, and is going to chip in an additional 35 receptions for 335 yards. That's 9.6 per reception and two scores. So six total scores, well over 1,000 yards from scrimmage. You'd be perfectly happy with that. But we live in a video game society where everybody expects these crazy numbers, 150 rushing yards, two scores, four receptions for 40 yards every single week, and it's just not sustainable. But the fact of the matter is pretty simple. Kareem Hunt is still playing well. I mean, is he the best running back in the NFL? No, but he's still playing well. And I don't even think you have to be playing that well. Sorry, Bills fans, for what I'm about to say. I don't even think you have to be playing that well to run all over the Bills right now. So, this is the week. Famous last words. This is the week it's going to happen. He hasn't scored in almost 2 months. He's going to get in the end zone. It's going to be a good day. I have to tell myself. I'm looking at myself in the mirror right now. You're good enough. You're smart enough. And doggone it, people like you. And I like Kareem Hunt this week, and I'm keeping him at number two. I don't see any reason to sit him this week. Todd Gurley at number three. We know the redemption tour just continues to march on. Mark Ingram on the other side of that. Since week six, Mark Ingram is the number one fantasy running back. LeSean McCoy, this one's tricky. I think you just have to consider him an RB1 and just realize that his floor is very low, but his ceiling is also enormous, as he showed us last week. It's been a roller coaster ride, but you have to keep him there. Leonard Fournette at number six. He is dealing with the ankle injury, but he's still seeing tons of touches, so it doesn't really necessarily matter. Melvin Gordon, you know, running hard, dominating touches in that backfield. Austin Eckler got in there at the, you know, once it was a blowout last week. Eckler is going to be involved a little bit in passing downs to spell Gordon, but let's be clear here. It is Melvin Gordon's backfield, and he's still an RB1. Alvin Kamara at number eight. Since week six, Alvin Kamara is the number two fantasy running back. That's an insane stat, so there's no reason to sit him now. Lamar Miller at nine. I'm not excited about this one, but you can run a little bit on Baltimore. In fact, you're going to be able to do more of that than pass on them. Their pass defense is pretty good. And here's the thing. He had Deontay Foreman nipping at his heels, and Deontay Foreman's now out for the season. And I don't think Andre Ellington being added does really much of anything here. We're going to see Ellington used in passing down situations like he was in Arizona. Not going to do much as an early down runner. So that means there's going to be plenty of touches here for Miller. This is a volume play more than anything. Same thing with number 10. It's a volume play. Carlos Hyde at number 10 against Seattle. Okay, yeah, that's tough, but there's almost nobody there for the 49ers now. So who do you think is going to get the ball? I mean, 20-plus touches? Yes, please sign me up for that. Jordan Howard at 11. Tough matchup. It's on the road against the Eagles. Not a favorable game script, but the thing about it is the Bears have shown that even in those unfavorable game scripts, they're not going to necessarily abandon the run. So I think you get enough touches here to warrant back-end RB1 consideration. Samaje Perine comes in at 12. Yeah, we're that high on him. Against the Giants, he's going to dominate touches in early downs. He's not going to get much work as a receiver because we actually are going to see Byron Marshall in that role, the Chris Thompson role. Not much fantasy value there outside of deep leagues for Byron Marshall. But Perine, yeah, back-end or fringe RB1, certainly. Tevin Coleman comes in at 13. We have to keep a close eye on Devontae Freeman's status, but I tell you what, as of right now, does not look good for Devontae Freeman. So Coleman will see enough volume there. In fact, he may bump up just a tiny little bit once we get confirmation that Freeman would be out. DeMarco Murray at 14. See, here's the thing. You can't sit him. And I'm in this boat too, and I don't like it, but you can't sit him. Because he's shown he has a pretty high ceiling. He's done it to us multiple times this season, probably the 2 weeks when everybody sat him. But it's against Indy. It's a plus matchup, so he's a front-end RB2. Deion Lewis coming in at number 15. Yeah, playing well. Favorable role in that offense. He's the clear lead guy. Number 15 for me. Number 16, Alfred Morris. I like the matchup for Morris. You can run on those Chargers. You can get chunk yardage. So even with Tyron Smith, if he's not in, I still like the play with Alfred Morris as an RB2 this week. Christian McCaffrey, so heavily involved in the pass game, not necessarily that much in the run game. And I don't think that changes with Greg Olsen back, by the way. So at 17, Joe Mixon at 18. Oh, please, could you just block for him? Throw him a freaking bone. Get this guy a little bit of space to run with. It's a tough matchup, too, believe it or not, because the Browns do a pretty good job against the run. But it's the same scenario with Mixon that we've had all along. The volume keeps him as an RB2. Same thing with Adrian Peterson. The volume keeps him as an RB2. But I'm not happy about that offensive line. And you could very well see another line from a stat line from Peterson where it's like 20 carries for 46 yards, right? But the volume is intriguing enough to keep him as an RB2. It's frustrating, I know. Alex Collins at 20. Now, I like Collins. I love the way he's played this season. Very impressed. But this is a tough matchup that kind of flies under the radar. You know, we think, okay, well, they don't have J.J. Watt anymore. Well, that's it for the Texans. Nope. Not against the run. Nope. They've given up one rushing touchdown to a running back this season, four receiving, but only one rushing touchdown so far this season. One. And that happened in week one. That's a pretty impressive streak there. They're holding running backs in check. So, again, a volume play, but not necessarily a matchup play. Orleans Darkwa at 21, another volume type play. A lot of these crowding the back end of the RB2s this week. Lat Murray comes in at 22 for me. I have him just two spots ahead of McKinnon. McKinnon is 24. So this Minnesota Vikings backfield is the poor man's Saints backfield, right? And this week I prefer, you know, if I had to choose between one, you know, one of the two, I would start Murray, but it's super, super close. And I still like McKinnon because of the upside factor. But you can get some damage done on the ground against Detroit. So maybe it bodes a little bit more positively for Murray, but both of them are RB2s. In between them, so I had 22 for Murray and 24 for McKinnon, is Jay Ajayi. They're not taking the training wheels off him just yet, but they are ramping it up a little bit. And he has home run hitting ability, as he's shown. You know, he's not a burner. He got caught from behind last week, and it was Byron Jones. It's not like Byron Jones is like a slow guy. So to be fair, but Ajayi, his role is going to continue to increase, and I love his playoff schedule. On the outside, looking in, sexy Rexy Burkhead. Well, his role in the passing game is still there, but we're not trusting him as anything more than the flex. With Jamal Williams, it looks like Ty Montgomery is possibly going to be back on the field. He isn't practicing as of today. This is, you know, the Wednesday report, but if he doesn't play, if Ty Montgomery doesn't play, then Williams will move up into the top 20. Billy Powell is the preferred Jets running back, but I don't really prefer him that much. So I have him at 28. Going a little bit deeper, Devontae Booker. This is the first time all season I ranked him ahead of C.J. Anderson. He's ahead of C.J. Anderson. Now, I don't want to start him, but he's trending in the right direction. Have him at 34. Duke Johnson at 35. Just not that crazy about Duke Johnson. He adds in the passing game, yes, but you're so reliant on big plays with Duke Johnson or you need a touchdown because he just doesn't touch the ball enough to sustain consistent fantasy value. there. And by the way, I don't want anything to do with like the Miami running backs. I guess if I want one, it's Damian Williams, but I really don't want him or Drake at this point. Hey, before we get to the wide receivers, got to tell you about our sponsor for today. This episode brought to you by PredictionMachine.com. Prediction Machine, a new generation in sports analytics where they play the games 50,000 times before they're actually played. Make better picks with proven data-driven analysis. Subscribe at PredictionMachine.com today and earn a $5 credit that can be used toward the purchase of any package. All right, so let's go to the wide receivers. Just like at running back, just like at quarterback, let's not overthink things. Antonio Brown is at the top. It's easy. Easy peasy. That's it. After him, though, it gets interesting. But I'm going with Julio Jones at number two. I know you're frustrated probably as a Julio Jones owner. The volume is there. He is playing good football. The matchup is a plus matchup. And there is a breakout, you know, massive game bubbling beneath the surface. And the thing with Jones is we know what his ceiling is. I mean, his ceiling's 300 freaking yards. So, yeah, just don't even think about it. Don't overthink it. Set, forget. AJ Green, I have a three. You know, I'm actually probably going to end up moving him down. Not much. But I am going to end up moving him down, and I'll tell you exactly why. So as I was going through, updating all of the tools and all that fun stuff this morning and yesterday, took a look at the shadow coverage matrix. And we did, like I had expected last week, we did see Jason McCourty shadow Marquise Lee, did a really good job on him. But in looking at the shadow coverage matrix, which you can get at profootballfocus.com, back in week four, Jason McCourty shadowed AJ Green. He was on him almost 100% of routes, which is a rare thing. Very, very rare. 97% of routes. Here's what AJ Green did against Jason McCourty. 2 catches on 3 targets for 31 yards. I fully expect Jason McCourty to shadow AJ Green again. Now, does that mean that you sit AJ Green in season long? Abso-freaking-lutely not. No way. Don't do it. That's the floor. You know that. But AJ Green is a guy you never sit in season long. He showed, you know, against Denver, for example, you could still get in the end zone. Didn't put up a massive yardage day, but got your touchdown. You're good to go. He could easily do that in this contest. So you're not sitting him in season long. And like I said, I'm going to move him down. I'm not moving to like 35. I'm going to move him to like 8. You know, I'm not moving him down that significantly. He's still a wide receiver one. It's just the floor aspect of it is what moves him down a tad now in my rankings. And by the way, you know, last week we talked a lot about the weather conditions. Good news this week. There really doesn't appear to be any weather conditions that look that significant. I'm not seeing any forecast for 20 plus mile an hour winds, no snow. A little bit of drizzle for the Oakland-Denver game. That's really the worst conditions here. There really isn't even like a freezing cold game. I guess Washington and the Giants, it's going to be 38, but clear skies, no winds in that one. So no worries there, at least as of now. Let's knock on wood with that one. How about the Saints-Rams, 81, 81 degrees and mostly cloudy. Oh, you LA people. I am so envious in Philadelphia where it gets pretty cold in the wintertime. Anyway, moving on here, number four for me is Adam Thielen. I love the matchup for Adam Thielen out of the slot. I think that the matchup's much tougher for Stephon Diggs in this one. You know, of the two, who's likely to see Slay? It isn't Thielen. Slay isn't going to travel to the slot. So that means Stephon Diggs is going to see Slay. I wonder who they're going to target. And Thielen is red hot right now, so starting him with supreme confidence as a wide receiver one. Michael Thomas next. He could see a shadow from Tremaine Johnson, but that doesn't worry me, and he's seeing tons of volume. And he's another one where that big game is bubbling right beneath the surface. Brandon Cooks at 6, favorable matchup, coming off a strong performance last week. I think he continues to roll in this one. Tyreek Hill. The getting's good this week, Kansas City against Buffalo. It could, you know, the one scenario, the sort of nightmare scenario, though, other than it not going to script, is that if the Chiefs get out to such a big lead that the starters come out of the game. But I'm still starting him as a wide receiver one. Doug Baldwin comes in at 8. Love his matchup out of the slot against Quan Williams. Mike Evans at 9. Okay. Ordinarily, you know, if Jameis Winston was starting, Mike Evans would probably this week, let's see, he would probably be 4. right? You know, ahead of Adam Thielen. That's where he would be. With Fitzpatrick under center, it does change things. You know, Fitzpatrick isn't going to necessarily sling it downfield. I mean, he's got like the gunslinger mentality at times, but he doesn't have an arm that can toss the ball 60 yards in the air, right? Like Jameis Winston does. So that's the deciding factor. It just bumps Evans down a little bit because the floor is lower and I don't think the ceiling is as high, but you're still starting him if you have him in season long. Alshon Jeffrey comes in at 10. Revenge game. No, not because of that. Not because of that. It's because of his touchdown upside that he offers in that offense. So he's a back-end wide receiver one. Keenan Allen coming off that massive week. I don't think he repeats those numbers, but he deserves our attention as a fringe wide receiver one this week. T.Y. Hilton, he's another one. He's in that DeMarco Murray territory where, yeah, the floor is really low, and he could burn you, but you don't sit him. And I do like the matchup this week. We saw what Antonio Brown was able to do against the Titans last week. But that being said, if, in fact, Brissett remains in the concussion protocol, we will downgrade T.Y. Hilton just a little bit this week. Downgrading Dez Bryant, I have him at 13. I may end up moving him down a little bit further because he's very likely going to see a shadow tomorrow from Casey Hayward. That's not good. Hayward's playing darn good football right now. DeAndre Hopkins comes in at 14. That's a tough matchup against Baltimore, but he's got enough upside that you're still starting him as a wide receiver too. Devin Funchess comes in at 15. He's the top wide receiver target in that offense. Possibly could see his share of Morris Claiborne. Maybe sees a shadow from Morris Claiborne in this one. But Funchess is rolling right now, so we're going to keep using him. Stephon Diggs comes in at 16. Yes, the matchup is tough. Big play Slay. But it's a ceiling floor issue. That's why he still is a wide receiver too, because we know Diggs has a wide receiver one ceiling. But in this matchup, you know, his floor is, I guess, flex worthy, right? Around about that range. So balancing ceiling and floor, that's where he comes in. Juju Smith-Schuster at 17, dealing with a hammy. So keep an eye on his status this week. Larry Fitzgerald at 18. By the way, Larry Fitzgerald, if there's a matchup to be had in that contest, he's the one who gets it. He's not going to see Jalen Ramsey or AJ Bouye when he's in the slot. You know, he's going to see Aaron Colvin. That's a good matchup for Fitzgerald. So if anybody, he'd really be the lone Cardinal who I'd want to use in this matchup against the Jags. Golden Tate. One of you checked in on Twitter and said, hey, I'm going to fade Golden Tate this week because he's going to see Xavier Rhodes. No, he isn't. He's definitely not going to see Xavier Rhodes. Xavier Rhodes, we know what they do against, we know what opposing teams do against the Lions. They shadow Marvin Jones. They don't shadow they don't shadow Golden Tate, right? So it's going to be Marvin Jones who sees the shadow from Xavier Rhodes. So Golden Tate's going to be just fine. I think he's a solid bounce back candidate this week. After Golden Tate, Michael Crabtree comes in, you know, touchdown upside at least against the Broncos. Like I said, you can score touchdowns against them. He comes in at 20, Jarvis Landry at 21. I don't think he gets shadowed this week either. I think what we end up seeing is in three wide sets, you're going to see Stephon Gilmore on Devontae Parker. Not the worst matchup. You'll see Malcolm Butler on Kenny Stills. So Kenny Stills is going to come back to earth this week. Demaryius Thomas at 22. Well, Paxton Lynch, we'll see. I don't know what to expect out of Paxton Lynch. At least with Brock Osweiler, like, well, he kind of likes Demaryius Thomas in the red zone, so there's that. I don't know what to expect out of Paxton Lynch. And this is a favorable matchup, so that shows you. We're downgrading a little bit there. Robbie Anderson is still in the wide receiver two conversation. Comes in at 23, and then at 24, Jamison Crowder, seeing enough volume there to be that fringe wide receiver two. On the outside looking in, Rishard Matthews is right there. It's pretty close. I like the upside you have with him, but he also has shown a lower floor. Amari Cooper gives you some touchdown upside, but it's, you know, volatile there against Denver. Cooper Kupp. I like Cooper Kupp this week against the Saints. Have him at 28. Not a high ceiling, but with no Bobby Woods out there, there's going to be some extra targets to go around for Kupp. Devontae Adams at 29. I mean, he's the best option there, but it is a tough matchup for Green Bay. Sammy Watkins is a wide receiver three at 30 for me. Again, more targets with no Bobby Woods. Some upside, of course, with Sammy Watkins as well. a little bit deeper. Marvin Jones, 33. That's where we are on him. It's going to be a tough matchup. This could be one of those where you look to fade him, even in season long. Josh Doctson at 36, trending in the right direction. That big game, it's going to happen one of these weeks. Is this the week? I'm not really sure. If I would put wager too many chips on that one. But he's got enough upside to warrant wide receiver 3 consideration. A little bit deeper than that, Corey Davis, not there yet. The target volume is there, but he's yet to really convert it. So still on the outside of the wide receiver 3 is looking in. Nelson Aguilar at 43. The Bears do a good job on slot receivers, something to consider with him. Corey Coleman of 46, flex-worthy, gives you some upside. But, you know, there's volatility, obviously, at the quarterback position. Jordy Nelson at 50. Say it ain't so. 51? Yep, can't trust him. Can't trust him as a starter. Not going to drop. I'm not dropping him. I mean, I guess I wouldn't talk you out of doing it. I'm not going to drop him because who the heck am I picking up? But I'm not starting him. I can't believe I have, like, Tyler Lockett, Marquise Goodwin, Jermaine Kearse. They're all ranked ahead of Jordy Nelson this week. Mike Wallace, Kenny Stills, they're all ranked ahead of him. That is crazy, but you can't start him. Can't trust him as a starter. All right, let's wrap things up with tight end. And again, not going to overthink it. Rob Gronkowski, yes, I'm concerned a little bit that he isn't seeing a ton of volume. There's just too many mouths to feed, but it's Gronk. His ceiling is enormous, so you keep starting him no matter what. And, you know, DFS, maybe you don't pay up for him. That's maybe the one thing we do there. Travis Kelce at 2, coming off a heavy volume last week. Again, enormous ceiling. Zach Ertz at 3. Well, we finally saw that he has a low floor, unfortunately, last week. But going right back to the well, I think he rebounds in a big way this week. And I think Evan Ingram rebounds in a big way. You can get some damage done against the Washington Redskins with your tight end. So Evan Ingram rebounds. If you look at what the Redskins have done to opposing tight ends or have allowed to opposing tight ends, 4 touchdowns in their last 5 games. So I think Evan Ingram, nice bounce back candidate there on Thanksgiving. Jimmy Graham, yep, we keep firing him up. He's number 5. Vernon Davis, number 6. Does not look like Jordan Reed's going to play. Anytime Jordan Reed doesn't play, Vernon Davis is a tight end 1. Delanie Walker at 7. Greg Olsen at 8. Yep. He's trending towards coming back, so that's a good thing. If you took my advice over the last several weeks, I've been saying pick him up, pick him up, pick him up, pick him up. Well, now you're going to fire him up as a tight end 1. He's going to see his share of the targets. And I know some of you are looking at it and saying, well, I'm nervous about the schedule. I'm nervous about the schedule. Yeah, I mean, I feel you. You have, with the Panthers, you have New Orleans up next. So New Orleans against opposing tight ends, they've done a reasonably good job. But in the same right, they've allowed a touchdown in each of the last 3 weeks to the position. So am I really concerned about that matchup? No. You have Minnesota after that. And I know everybody looks at the Minnesota defense and they do a good job across the board. That's a little bit of a tough matchup. There's no denying that. After that, so that's week 14. That's the first week of the playoffs. Then you have the Packers who, yeah, they've shut down opposing tight ends. That's a little rough. Then Tampa Bay. Yeah, I mean, they've done a pretty good job against tight ends as well. Here's the thing, though. And it's not the most favorable schedule. There's no denying that. But he's going to see enough volume to keep him in the tight end 1 conversation. And this is the season that has been, you know, we've made the drinking game out of it. It's been brutal. It's been brutal at tight end. Last week was sort of the quintessential sum up 2017 at tight end in a nutshell, with all these randos getting in the end zone, all these randos in the top 10 at the position. But do you really want to rely? Do you want to roll the dice on somebody like Austin Hooper every week? Or Ricky Seals-Jones, or O.J. Howard, or, you know, do you want to roll the dice on these guys, or do you want to just start Greg Olsen? I'm not going to try and play Russian roulette at tight end. I'm just going to start Greg Olsen, and I don't care if the matchups are that tough. They're not completely impossible. I mean, the Packers doesn't look good at all. They haven't allowed a receiving touchdown. The most they've given up to opposing tight ends is 62 yards. So, yeah. But I'm still going to start Greg Olsen over Arando at the tight end position there. So this week, though, Greg Olsen, top 10 play for me. Moving on after Greg Olsen, Jack Doyle. Yeah, the volume should be there for Jack Doyle. So he's number 9. Number 10, Jared Cook. You can get some damage done on the Broncos out of the tight end position. So he comes in at 10. Austin Seferian Jenkins at 11 because somebody has to catch ball for the Jets. And then number 12, Tyler Kroft, though he is banged up. So we'll keep an eye on his status. If it's not Tyler Kroft at 12, two-target Austin maybe moves up or possibly Kyle Rudolph. I guess it'll be Kyle Rudolph at 12. Yeah, he's right on the fringe with two-target Austin. So, yay. This is what we're talking about. This is what I mean about Greg Olsen. Once we get to this range, I mean, here's who's in this range now. Other than Austin Hooper and Kyle Rudolph, Cameron Brate, do we want to trust him? Jason Witten, do we want to trust him? Hunter Hendry, do we want to trust him? Maybe Charles Clay. Maybe I'm a little low on Charles Clay. I have him at 18, but this was before the Tyrod news. So Charles Clay will move up. So maybe he becomes in that conversation of, yeah, we just start him as a back-end tight end one, and it's not, do we want to trust him? Like Ben Watson, do we want to trust him? Adam Shaheen, do we really want to trust Adam Shaheen? I don't want to trust him. Daniel Brown ran more pass routes than Adam Shaheen this last week. So was that his absolute ceiling? It might have been. Eric Ebron, do we want to trust him? Julius Thomas. I mean, this is the territory we're in. So, yeah, tight end is brutal this season. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll see what we do the rest of the week. I'm still going to do one more podcast. I don't know if that's going to come out tomorrow or Friday. We'll see what ends up happening with the rest of the work that I have to get done before then. But regardless, normal podcast like usual that'll break down the matchups for the weekend, not for the Thanksgiving games. You could probably use the rest of this show for the Thanksgiving games. Enjoy it. Enjoy the holiday. I hope it's fortunate for you in fantasy. It's delicious at dinner. And the rest of it is a whole lot of fun because it is such a great day and certainly a lot to be thankful for right now, including NFL football. And I'm thankful for you guys listening. I really appreciate the support. Remember on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe, hashtag Rat Pack. Hit me up there. And remember, any rankings, questions, just go to profootballfocus.com. Go to profootballfocus.com anyway. PFF10, that's going to get you $10 off a subscription. Highly recommend it. All right, I will catch you on the flip side for Pro Football Focus. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here.